back to another episode of Beyond the Bookshelves, where once a month we cover all things related to Scott County Public Library. I'm Mackenzie.
And I am Min Young.
Min Young, it has been so long since our last podcast. That one was back in January, wasn't it?
It was. It's been a while. It has been a while, but I'm glad to finally get this thing going.
Yeah, because like we have a lot of positive changes, and we also have a really new and special guest, Mandy Brooks, our one and only administrative assistant here at Scott County Public Library, who's going to give us all kinds of amazing details about the library, especially maybe one or two about the meeting rooms. But before we even get into that, Mandy, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Mandy Brooks, administrative assistant here. Been here 11 years.
And an expertise on meeting rooms.
Well, I don't know if that was by choice, but that's what I am.
It fell in your lap.
It did. Yeah.
But like all the same, like it's good to know all these policies, and that's what we're mainly here to talk about today. So that, you know, for patrons who might not know that we have an amazing service with meeting rooms in terms of reservations and how we go about that. But first off, I guess before we deep dive too further, can you tell us a little bit about how that service looks like?
So the library is, first of all, it's a really popular service. Our meeting rooms are very heavily used. So I could tell that our community really appreciates having this service. Yes. The library currently offers 9 meeting rooms that are available for reservation by the public. They all vary in size. The resources that are available in each differ based on the size of the room and kind of what each room is kind of set up to accommodate for the public. But the capacity of the rooms that we have range from 4 being the smallest all the way up to 200. So we have a very large or wide range of room sizes that are available. So it can fit needs like small groups or even, you know, large groups, 200 people. So it's a lot.
Yeah, that absolutely is a lot. And I just wanted to clarify also, if you could, the difference between meeting room and a study room.
Yeah, so we have a lot of spaces here at the library, other than meeting rooms, that are available for the public. So as you mentioned, we have 4 study rooms, and those are first come, first serve. So they're not something that can be reserved ahead of time. When a patron comes in and they, you know, don't have a meeting room, they can get a study room as long as it's empty. And they could check in at the information desk. The person will let them in, and then they can use that space. I think they get 2-hour blocks of time, and if no one is waiting, they can get additional time for those. But those are pretty much available first come, first serve. But we also have a quiet study room that is available for individual study. It's always open to the public, no reservations, no check-in, anything like that. And we have a ton of study tables throughout the library that are available as well. So that's kind of the differences between those spaces and the meeting rooms.
Yeah, because I'm sure that can be a little bit confusing when they look at those rooms and go, what's the difference?
What
can I get in there, but I can get in here?
Yeah. It's also good to know the difference, because the last thing you want to do is like, oh, I want a study room. You accidentally reserve the community room. You're like, I don't think this is correct.
Yeah.
As we're discussing this, I know that each of those meeting rooms have unique characters, or they offer a certain aspect of why you need those specific rooms. So can you go into a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I guess without actually like going through each room and defining in each, but we have smaller rooms that really don't have a whole lot of technology in it, where it might be more comfortable for a one-on-one study session, or I don't know, one-on-one meeting, or we've had people do job interviews and things like that. But we also have rooms that have other technologies like smart boards, projectors. Our community room has a sound system. It has a stage. We've had multiple groups use that before to come and practice dances and theater performances. Let's see, what else? I don't know. I think that's pretty much it. We try to make sure that the more medium-sized rooms have more of the technology needs that would be necessary for training opportunities that people come in and use the rooms for, or, I don't know, presentations, just a lot of various things. So we have whiteboards. Some people don't want to do technology, so we do have whiteboards and flip charts, plain paper. So I think it really just depends on what the patron needs, what their meeting is for, and what their needs are. But we have several rooms, and those descriptions are on our website when you go to reserve the room. So you can see what each room actually has in it and decide which one fits your needs the best.
Well, I personally love the community room the best, simply because they hold such huge concerts and, and big events. I mean, if you can fit 200 people in that thing, it's amazing what we can do with that room. So I love room C.
Room C. And sometimes you have to clarify between room one and two, even though they are the same room.
We do have a partition that can split it in half. So, I mean, we call it nine, but it really could be 10 if you split that room in half. So
And then what if you split it into quarters? What it becomes after that?
I don't know. We don't have the ability to do that. But maybe that's something that...
maybe something to think about for the future if we ever need more rooms. But we have so many rooms for everyone to reserve
It could be a maze.
Hey, you know, great Halloween idea right there.
I like that.
But so kind of like jumping ahead just a little bit in questions. So you said like we have a variety of events that people can reserve and that we allow here at the library. Are there any restrictions in events that people can reserve?
Yes. Yeah, there are restrictions. Like with anything, I guess there's restrictions. But the library really strives to make sure that everything that we do and offer here is free to the public. So one of the things that we don't allow is the rooms to be used for the purpose of sales of services or the sales of goods or products. So we wouldn't allow someone to use the room for that purpose. The other thing that we restrict are what we call social celebrations. And those are things like baby showers, wedding showers, birthday parties, family reunion, celebration of life, you know, those kinds of things. We don't allow it for that. But I think I looked maybe last year, and over the course of that year, we had 330 different community groups that used our rooms in that year, and that was individual groups, so not repeating. So it's been a really great service and widely used. So
You can't start a bonfire in one of these.
No. Yeah. Well, I guess that's the other thing. No open flames and, you know, those kinds of things. But
no bonfires. Regular safety restrictions apply here, folks. Yes. Just remember.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Obviously, there's some procedures after you reserve a room. What must patrons do once they get here?
Also, how are they eligible to reserve a room?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So anybody who has a Scott County Public Library card is eligible to reserve a room. But it's free, so it doesn't cost you anything. Yeah. So that is really the only thing that is a requirement. How you would go about, you would go to, and this isn't exactly what you asked, but you would go to our website, which is scottpublib.org. And on the, I believe it's the right-hand side, is that correct? Right-hand side, there's a box that says reserve meeting room, and you would click that box. It'll take you to our reservation software. You will see all the rooms available, the times that they're available. You can read all of the descriptions and find out what best suits your needs, and then you can request that room. It will submit that to me, and I'll review everything. And the most important thing I can say is to make sure that you have a email address listed on your library card account, because if you don't, you won't get a confirmation when I approve your reservation. So it's a good thing to have that that approval in case there's any mix-up when you come in to check in to get your room. If somebody doesn't see it on the screen, it's good to have that approval just in case. But once you get your approval, you should be good to go. And on the day of your meeting, you'll come in and you'll go to the information desk and check in there with them. They'll give you they'll check you all in, get the room open for you, and give you a little card to take. And they get you all ready to go.
Just on that note, can they come early to set up, or can they? Does it have to be within that time?
It has to be within their reservation time. So it is really important that everyone is putting in whatever amount of time they need to set up, build that into your reservation time, because our staff will only allow you to access the room about 5 minutes before your actual start time. And that's maintenance reasons is usually why the...
And I'm guessing also same applies to leaving. Right. You have to build that time to make sure you clean up
Yes,
to leave by your time.
Yes, your teardown time also has to be included in your reservation time, yes.
Yeah. But what about like special requests? Like say that a patron reserves a room and they call the library saying, oh, I reserved this one room. Is there any way we can have like so-and-so amount of tables in there or et cetera? Can any special requests like that happen or occur?
Each room is what it is when you get it. So we can't move tables or chairs from one room to the other, and that has to do with fire marshal code and everything like that. They've come out and inspected everything, and this is what you can have in here and this is what you can't. So we can't move, you know, tables or chairs from one room to another. But if you reserve a room that holds 12 and you find out you're going to have 20, just call me at the library and I'll make those changes for you. As long as we have that another bigger space available, of course I'll do that. That's not a problem. But one thing I think happens the most, or maybe people don't understand when they read our policy, is that our rooms are available for 5-hour blocks of time. But there are some times when you're having like an all-day training, like from 9 to 5. Well, that's going to be more than a 5-hour block of time. The reservation software won't allow you to do that on your own. So just call me and we can work something out. Approving that block of time past 5 hours has to be approved by the director. I come to her all the time and say, so-and-so would like to have a full day here, and I don't think she's ever turned it down. So just give me a call, and I can make sure it all happens for you, or I'll do my best.
Yeah, because, you know, I remember one year the Board of Education took that community room all day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was booked solid. I mean, literally, it seemed like there were over 200 people in that room all day long using that space. And what a great, unique space for them to be able to rent. Well, not even rent, just use it for free.
Just use, yeah.
And that's the key word here, free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, it's absolutely free to reserve these rooms.
It's when a great word.
It is like the number one word, right?
Yes, it
that
is.
That people
when you
attract
think
to.
Think free.
Free, yes. Yeah, absolutely. So another question here we have listed is, how can we as a library staff assist? Is there anything we can do uniquely for them?
I think one of the best things that we do offer is some technology assistance with the things in the room, the technology specifically in that room. We have a wonderful technology staff here, and they are always so willing to help. So I do know that, you know, sometimes if you don't have a lot of experience with the technology, it can be a bit overwhelming. Or if you're in front of 200 people and you have to give a presentation, so you might be, you're like, well, I can't get my computer to turn on. So we do have that available through that reservation software. Patrons can request technology assistance. Yeah. And as long as you make that request, they'll make sure they have that time available to come down and help. But that's one of the biggest things that our staff can offer to our meeting room users.
I mean, I forgot about that. The community room has slides that comes down from the ceiling.
Yes, projectors.
Projector. I think there's three
there's
of them.
There's three,
in there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, there's three.
Parts of the room.
Yeah.
So it's not all just on one side.
One side.
Like, you know, if we divide it up and turn it into C1, C2, then like you get, you know, one here, and then in the other room you can still have one as well.
Yeah, and there's one that comes right down on the stage. So even if you had the whole community room, say you did the whole thing, you could potentially use all three if you wanted to, if your event so requires.
Yeah. I tell you, that's the versatility of that room. Unbelievable.
There's just so much to offer here. I guess like just a one clarifying question to make sure that, okay, you've reserved your room, you've gone to the website, you've done all the steps, now you're walking in day of. Where do you go to check in?
The information desk.
Information desk. But what if it's over at the community room?
Oh, that's right. Thank you. I forgot about that. We just kind of changed that procedure. If you are using the community room, you'll actually check in down at the gallery desk with our person down there now. It was just a long walk for our patrons. So we decided to make it a bit more convenient and move that check-in for the community room down there at the gallery. Thank you for reminding me about that.
Yeah, no, of course.
But all the other ones will still be at the information desk.
All right, you heard it here first, folks. Information desk for most of the meeting rooms, unless it's the community room. So think big, think gallery.
There you go. Perfect.
So I do have one last question. So we've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
So is there a memorable moment of something that's funny that has happened in a meeting room that we can share with our audience?
There's got to be so many.
I don't know that is anything funny.
Something that was crazy.
There's just been unique experiences of like where you scratch your head and you're like, how did that even happen? But I wouldn't necessarily call it. I guess it's funny if everybody's okay in the end. But we did have somebody kind of flip. It was a young person who kind of flipped back in there. They were rocking the chair and they kind of flipped back. Thankfully, everyone was okay. But she did dent the wall a little bit, and I was like, oh my gosh, I hope she's okay. And thankfully, she was, but that was kind of funny afterwards once you realize everybody's okay. But that was probably the most unique situation of like, how did this even happen? But
well, I guess I just assumed maybe there was someone that might have had a food fight.
Oh Lord, no.
Or
thankfully,
something like that. Before we made the policy to say you can bring. You know, food here or drinks here.
No, all of our patrons, all of our community or room users are very respectful of the space. So thankfully, we don't have any food fights going on, Minyoung.
That's a good question, though, with our most fun stories. And I guess this is my last question. If there's anything that a patron does that could be deemed, you know, like something that could be a consequence for using the room, such as denting the wall or a food fight. What does that look like for them?
Well, the person who reserves the room is taking responsibility for any damages or any additional cleanup time. So make sure you keep that in mind, that you would be the responsible party. But as far as cleaning, I think some people get a little worried about that when they hear, I might be charged if there's additional cleaning. What we have done is make sure that we have put cleaning supplies at that gallery desk for the community room and then at the information desk for all the other rooms so that our meeting room users can go there and, you know, if they need to clean up after themselves a little bit. It would really only be if it was something major, like if you had a food fight. We might have to charge you for a little bit of extra cleaning for a food fight if we're scraping it off the ceiling. But
drop a whole gallon of Kool-Aid.
But really,
oh my gosh.
I think the maintenance people would be very upset if you dropped Kool-Aid.
I think they would.
But really, it would only be if there was really damage, like a dent in the wall or something like that. But we don't have too many problems. We have really good patrons.
We hope to have these things for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Another question, if you will. What is the possible consequence for no-shows?
Yeah, our policy kind of, I think, changed a little bit on that. But we really need for people who are reserving spaces to cancel it if they've decided, if something has come up. It really benefits our maintenance team to be able to make sure that these rooms are always ready. If you are canceling those at least 24 hours in advance. If you don't, and you do that two times, then we would restrict your use of the rooms for a little while, not permanently. I think the policy says 6 months that we would restrict your use, and then you'd be able to use it again. But the reason behind that is our maintenance staff relies very heavily on that schedule to be able to make sure that these rooms are always well taken care of and ready for the public to be able to use.
And I think that's fair.
That's fair.
Because I cannot imagine if they set up for 200 people and tables and chairs and they didn't show up and then they have to go back and put all that stuff up. I think I'd be a little upset.
Yeah. I mean, other than, you know, making sure that the tables and chairs are cleaned and that the trash cans are emptied, but they also make sure that, you know, these outlets are working properly. Yeah. We've had to close a meeting room down before because one of the outlets stopped working and they had to fix it. So I think it's more than just your general maintenance, cleanup maintenance. It's overall room maintenance, I think.
Well, not to mention you're possibly taking a spot of someone, other organization.
That's the other thing, too.
Meeting.
Yeah.
So that's always respectful.
Yeah. So essentially here, be respectful of the spaces and the time you're reserving here at the library, because it's a community space for all and we have to share it with care.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here today, Mandy.
Thanks for having me.
How was your first time on a podcast?
It was terrible. I'm just kidding. It wasn't too bad.
No, I think this is wonderful information to share. And that we couldn't have had a better person to come share this knowledge with
you.
Our patrons.
My ego's going to get big.
you may be coming back.
Oh, no. You got to step it up from here on out now.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been just a great episode. But I guess before we wrap things up, Min Young, has there, I know we're preparing for next month, and especially with summer reading, is there any programs you want to shout out to our patrons to let them know, keep an eye out for this?
Yeah, so my message to everyone would be go to our website. Mm-hmm. Go to our website, because there is way too many for me to just isolate one, two specific events. Because if you go to our May event, you'll see tremendous amount of programs for all ages. And I think you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. And again, the big word here is all those programs are 1, 2, 3.
Free.
Free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Free. It's free. So that would be my message. Please go to our website and check those events out.
Yeah. And a special little asterisk mark to that. When you go to the calendar, make sure you're double checking to see if any of those require any registration.
Yes.
Because that's very important. We want to make sure we can have a head count, make sure we can count on you to be there.
Yeah. Because a lot of these programs get filled quickly.
Yes. Like the watercolor.
Yes.
And all that. All the
crafts.
Classes usually.
They do. They definitely do.
I guess that's it. Thank you again so much, Mandy. And thank you, Min Young.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the next podcast already.
All right. See you guys.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Beyond the Bookshelves is a public library podcast produced by the Scott County Public Library in Georgetown, Kentucky. Your hosts are marketing manager Min Young Bowling and media coordinator Mackenzie Fay. Editing is done by the marketing team with special assistance from the technology department of Scott County Public Library. If you want to learn more about the Scott County Public Library, you can visit our website at www.scottpublib.org. Until next time, keep learning and keep growing.